Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ is risen.
He is risen.
We have many important lessons found in today's reading of the Samaritan woman as well as our epistle, but there are two that I want to focus on that are themes that are constant throughout our celebration of Passover. And that is this theme that we see that ultimately ends up culminating in what scholars would refer to as Christianity as being a universal religion, meaning that Christianity sees itself as applying to anyone at any time and any place. Prior to that, most religions, if not all religions, saw themselves as being rather local, as people having their own local deity. And competing villages and other cities that they weren't even aware of, they had their own deity, and that was fine. No problem. You had different deities. But what we see introduced today in the epistle reading as well as in the gospel reading is this notion that Christianity applies to anyone at any time and any place. We see this because in the epistle reading, we saw how originally, the apostles were going out and preaching only to the Jews. It mentions very specifically there in the Acts of the Apostles. And then some of them also started preaching to the Hellenists, to the Greeks, by extension. And we know that, of course, Paul picks up on that and takes the message all the way to the heart of the Roman Empire, to Rome itself. And in addition, we see in the Gospel reading that Jesus has this interaction not just with any woman, but with a Samaritan woman. And we see the surprise of his disciples that he's speaking with a woman, because it was not common at that time that a man and a woman would be alone together speaking to one another. So the apostles were surprised that Jesus was speaking with them. Even more so, they were surprised that Jesus was speaking with someone who was an enemy of the Jews. You know, they're very close to the Jews and the Samaritans, very similar. That tends to be how we humans behave, isn't it? Those who are closest to us can become our greatest enemies. But that's the way that it was with the Jews and the Samaritans at Jesus' time. And so Jesus interacting with and offering his message to this Samaritan woman, this woman who, as he said, had five husbands. So a sinful woman, as we know her now, a repentant sinful woman, Saint Bothini, who ultimately goes then and shares the message with her fellow Samaritans, who then come to Jesus and accept his message and become part of the covenant community of God. So we see this expressed in today's readings. What we also see expressed in today's readings is this notion that, again, is unique at the time to Christianity, which is that you can worship God anywhere, any place, any time. Jesus has this interaction with the Samaritan woman, and her question is essentially, where is the holy place? Where is the holy mountain? That's the big dispute, one of the main disputes between the Jews and the Samaritans, and Jesus says, essentially, forget about it. These places. That you can worship God anywhere, anytime, so long as you do His will, so long as you are living the way that He told you to live. That's how we worship Him in spirit, anywhere, and in truth, by following His teaching, wherever we find ourselves. And on these two points today, I want to elaborate. You know, we can go, this is, you know, the best of, I want to talk about the best of Christianity and the worst of Christianity. The worst of Christianity is when we take this idea, this notion that any human being at any time and any place can be a Christian, and we start to see people as commodities. We start to see people as numbers. We start to see people as someone that we just merely need to convert. We fall into this trap, and Christians have fallen into this trap throughout throughout our entire history. We see it so many times today. I deal with this actually in my prison ministry. The chaplains at the prison, they're very sick and tired of Christian ministers showing up and just being interested so they can go back on Sunday to their church and tell how many people they've saved. And so the chaplains are always interested when they find out that I'm not there to do that. That I'm there to work with these men who are interested in changing their lives, who are interested in jumping through some of the hoops that we make them jump through to show that they're serious and not just wanting to get out of their cell for a couple of hours. The chaplains appreciate that. Why? Because they have seen so many times the worst of Christianity, where we see people as a commodity, as we see people as something just to gain. So for our own ego, how many people were in church? How many converts do you have? We hear about this all the time at the archdiocese and diocesan meetings and so forth. And it can be a good thing, right? But it can also be a bad thing, where we just start viewing people as numbers. But the best of Christianity and what it was meant to be and what we're always called back is to see each and every person as someone created in the image and likeness of God. The best of Christianity and what Jesus was teaching and what the Bible constantly calls us back to is seeing God in the face of our enemy. And ultimately then asking the question, how can you have an enemy? How can you have an enemy when your enemy is in the image and likeness of God? How can you look down upon other people when you know that they are of as much value in God's eyes as you? How do you look down upon those who struggle? How do you look down on those who are different? How do you look down upon those who struggle with different sins when you yourself know that God loves them and cares for them just as much as He loves and cares for you, just as much as He desires for you to repent and turn back to Him, He desires for them? You see, that is the best of Christianity, and that is what Scripture is teaching us. That's what Jesus is teaching us today in His interaction with the Samaritan woman and in all of His interactions that are recorded in the Holy Scriptures from His time here on earth with us. They're all the same. You know, the worst of Christianity and the worst of this idea that we can worship God anywhere, at any time, is that we lose respect for things being holy. We lose respect for other people, and we no longer view certain people, and certain institutions and so forth as having any sort of authority over us, or any idea of respect for them. And so we just toss this out willy-nilly. Oh, you know what? You know, some people during COVID, you know, we made this concession during the time of COVID, and we kept it even to this time only for those who are homebound and can't get out where we record the services. Not because it's the same thing to sit at home on Sunday and sit back with your cup of coffee and an omelet and watch the service and say a few prayers. It's not the same. We know that, and that's why most people came back. At least Orthodox came back. But there are, I speak to other Christian ministers in this town, and none of them have recovered from the time of COVID. Why? Because Christians have lost respect for institutions and for people and for the community gathering together, and they think, I can worship God wherever I want to worship Him, however I want to worship Him, whenever I want to worship Him. And this is the worst of Christianity. The best of Christianity is recognizing that yes, there are holy things, and that yes, there are places and people that we should treat with reverence and respect and to set apart. That's what it means to be holy. People think that being holy means all the time that it's, you know, the way you live your life and so forth, and holy people. No, it's someone who's set apart. The clergy are holy. Not saying that I personally am holy individual, but we are set apart. This church temple is holy, not because there's anything special about it in and of itself, but because we set it apart as a place for our common community where we gather. And so we have to maintain this balance in the way that the Bible maintains this balance. The way I try to maintain this balance is every once in a while we poke fun at ourselves, taking ourselves too seriously, taking the idea of the church building too seriously. How do we do that? By spending a lot of money on the church building and decorating it with all of this iconography that's expensive. And then saying, well, we don't have enough money for this ministry or that ministry. I don't have enough money to give to someone who I've seen on the streets who is poor. I don't have enough money to donate to this charity or that charity. Wake up, friends. We can do both. You can set apart the temple and be holy, and you can also leave the temple and be holy and set apart when you see people in need. When there are organizations to which we can give that have need of our money, we can do both things. And that's what the Bible challenges us to do. So today I ask us to reflect on our own lives as a community, and as individuals, as families, and to see the best in Christianity and to remember we are always called back to that. The one thing that people, sometimes you hear people speak and you would think, they would think that Christians are perfect or that the Orthodox Church is perfect. No, we're not perfect. But we have perfection in our midst. And that perfection is the way we are taught to live in Holy Scriptures. And we are constantly called back to that way of life. That's why it's been my emphasis over the years to teach and to preach Scripture as it was understood originally. Because when you understand that, it tells you how to live. It teaches you how to live. And we have that perfection of how we should live our lives here, preached to us each and every week, read to us when the priest or the deacon reads it to us. And so we continually call ourselves back to the best that it has to give us. The best that we heard today in the teaching of our Lord Jesus Christ. To him be all glory, honor, and worship together with his Father and Spirit unto the ages of ages. Amen. I'll read the prayer. You can read the litanies and then the exclamation for the catechumens. Yeah, I'll read the prayer while you're reading.
Pray to the Lord, ye catechumens.
Lord, have mercy.
Let us, the faithful, pray for the catechumens that the Lord will have mercy on them.
Lord, have mercy.